Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. This week, we are starting the book of Deuteronomy. We're in the first Torah reading of the book of Deuteronomy. So, you know, his word tells us that great shalom have those who love his Torah and nothing will cause them to stumble. So let's go ahead and jump into his Torah for this weekend. So we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, Yahweh our God said to us in Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all their neighbors in the Arabah and the hill country and in the lowland and the Negev and by the seacoast, the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and take possession of the land that Yahweh swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them and to their offspring after them. So Israel has gotten to the edge of the promised land. Remember, the first generation of Israelites that came out of Egypt was not allowed to enter into the land because of their rebellion, because of their disbelief in the wilderness, especially regarding when they sent the 12 spies into the land and 10 of them came back with an evil report, and the congregation chose to believe the evil report instead of the report of Caleb and Joshua and chose not to enter into the land. Instead, in their heart, they strayed from where God wanted them to go and wanted and had a desire to actually go back to Egypt instead of entering into the promised land, or as the book of Hebrews would say, enter into his rest. So they chose to walk or to go back to the land of slavery. Remember, they were enslaved unto Egypt, making bricks for Egypt, and the work was so hard, they cried out for help. So they forgot the slavery, the hard task that they were having to work under in Egypt. They just remembered the life they had. They were fearful of the report of the giants in the land and chose to reject God's plan and what God had for them, and instead wanted to go back. Now, Caleb and Joshua, the only two who believed, were the only two who would actually get to enter into the promised land and see God's rest. Okay, so let's go ahead and look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to test and saw my works for 40 years. Now remember, when they rebelled against him and they chose not to enter into his rest, the discipline that they received was that they were to wander around the wilderness for 40 years, and then the next generation would come into the land. So as we're starting the book of Deuteronomy, that older generation has all died. The new generation is there. It's that next generation that is about to enter into the land. So that serves as an example unto us, as a warning, something from us to learn from. And that is that we are not to harden our hearts as they harden their hearts in the wilderness. So what does it mean to harden our hearts? It means to reject him, number one, to reject his plans and his purpose for our lives. It is to reject the instructions that he has given us. So you're rejecting his commandments, rejecting his Torah, rejecting his laws, whichever, you know, word you want to use on that. When we reject his ways, when we reject walking as Yeshua walked, and instead of being transformed into the image of Yeshua, we choose to walk in conformity to this world. We choose to give in to the desires of our flesh, to do what our flesh wants. We seek the desires of our flesh instead of seeking his righteousness and walking in his ways. That is when we begin to harden our hearts. When we have a relationship with Yeshua, once we've put our belief in him, he places his Holy Spirit inside of our hearts. His Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us and bring conviction. His Spirit will convict us of those things that are wrong. And if we ignore his conviction, if we choose not to listen to his conviction, our hearts become hard. Our hearts then get to the point where we will no longer feel his conviction. So we have to be careful. That's what it means. Do not harden your heart. Do not resist his spirit. Do not resist the conviction when he brings it. And do not willfully and wantonly rebel against his commands and his instructions. But seek to have a soft and tender heart towards his instructions and his commands. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but you have a soft heart, a willing heart, and a heart that desires to walk in his righteousness. And when we miss the mark, we're quick to repent, we're quick to set it right, and we're quick, and also we desire his conviction. We desire to feel his conviction, and when we feel his conviction, we do something about it. We don't ignore it, and we don't build a hard, callous heart towards his conviction. So let's look at verse 10. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So the problem with Israel, where it started, was in their hearts. The first verse there we read, it talked about how they hardened their hearts. So they hardened their hearts. And then we see here in verse 10 that they went astray in their hearts. So all of our sin, all of our wickedness, comes from the heart. So we have to learn to deal with our hearts first. We have to learn to deal with the desires that rage inside of us, learning how to change our desires, to resist the desires of the flesh, to put them to death, and to replace them with a desire and a willingness to walk in his righteousness. We must first have a new heart. Now, of course, Yeshua, when we put our belief in him, and through our walk with him and in prayer with him and by his spirit, he gives us a new heart. He circumcises our heart and he does away with that old hard heart, and he gives us that heart of flesh. But upon him giving us that heart of flesh, we cannot continue to outright walk in disobedience, because we will harden that new heart he has given us. So it says here that they went astray. What does it mean to go astray? It means they wandered off the path. They left his instructions. They did not adhere to what he was telling them to do. When we disobey his word, when we disobey his commands, and we choose to do our own thing, we choose to follow the desires of our flesh, or we choose to walk in conformity to this world, we stray from his path. And that always comes from an evil place within our hearts. And the verse says that they have not known my ways. They didn't even know what it meant to walk in his ways, to walk in his righteousness, to walk with him, to walk close with him, to have an intimate relationship with their creator. They did not know his ways. I do not want that to be said of me, that I did not know his ways. I want to know his ways. And that's one of the things that starts with the heart, is we need to put his ways deep within our hearts. Our hearts need to know his ways. We need to think upon his ways, and we need to have a desire for his ways within our hearts. And then we will be able to walk in his ways. If we do that, then we'll be able to enter into his rest. But if we choose to be like Israel and we provoke him by going astray in our hearts and having that hard, rebellious heart, then just as they did not enter into his rest, neither will we enter into his rest. Now let's look at verse 12 here. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. So here the writer of Hebrews is telling us, beware of an evil and unbelieving heart, because these two things will lead you to fall away from the living God. You can have a belief in Yeshua. You can be walking with Yeshua. But if you do not guard your heart, if you do not keep his ways planted deep in your heart, learning his ways, studying his ways, and loving his ways, and you allow your heart to become evil, to begin to desire the things of this world, the conformity to this world, and the lust of your flesh, and your heart becomes unbelieving. The writer of Hebrews links these two things together, the evil and unbelieving heart. Because the unbelieving heart is going to produce wickedness. It's going to produce evil. It's going to produce unbelief. Disobedience is a product of unbelief. If we're walking in disobedience, then we actually have a belief problem. We don't believe his commands are good. We don't believe his commands are righteous. We don't believe that there is life and joy in his commands. There's got to be a reason to why we reject them, why we turn our back on them. And it's because there is unbelief. Israel chose not to believe that God could deliver the giants into their hands, and so they acted evilly. They rejected him and chose to go back to Egypt. They chose their flesh over his desire, God's desire, because they did not believe that God would give the giants unto them. So, if we allow unbelief to grow in our hearts, it can lead us to fall away from the living God. Well, let's look at verse 13. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So here he's saying exhort one another, or encourage one another, instruct one another every day about God's ways, his righteousness, his instructions, walking in his ways, to turn aside from evil and disbelief and disobedience, and to cling to him, to hate what is evil and to cling to what is good. It says that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. When sin deceives you, it begins to harden your heart. Compromise will harden your heart. You let in a little compromise, that little bit of compromise will begin to harden your heart unto his ways and unto his righteousness, and then you will find yourself falling away from the living God. So we have to be careful of the deceitfulness of sin. So we need to exhort one another, encourage one another about walking in his ways and in his righteousness and in his Torah, his law which he has given unto us, which instructs us in his ways, in his righteousness, how to love him so we can walk in intimacy with him. And with that comes shalom, comes blessing, comes peace and joy. With sin comes death. Let's look at verse 14. For we have come to share in Messiah, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts in the rebellion. So hear his voice, hear his word, hear what he is speaking. Let your ears be open to hear. Let your hearts be open to hear that his word can transform our hearts, transform our minds, and that we do not harden our hearts, that we do not reject his voice, that we do not reject his word and his instructions and his law. His word, his Torah, his instructions, his written word from Genesis unto Revelation is his voice. When we read his word, we hear his voice. Let us not harden our hearts to his word. Let's look at verse 16. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? As with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. So we start this little section off here. First thing he's saying is, did not all of them come out of Egypt? Were not all of them led by Moses? Okay, so just because they came out of Egypt, and just because they were being led by Moses, didn't mean that they were going to automatically get to enter into his rest. They had to follow through on the purpose and the plan and the instructions that God had for them. They had to continue walking in his ways. They had to continue to believe in him. A one-time belief did not guarantee that they would enter into the promised land or his rest. The same goes for us today. A one-time belief does not promise you that you're going to enter into his rest. Just because you prayed a prayer one day and one day you said that you believed in Yeshua as your Redeemer, as your Savior, doesn't mean you're automatically going to enter into his rest. You need to possess belief. You need to continue to possess belief. And that belief needs to produce something in your life. And when you do that, then you will enter into his rest. Because as we see here in the end of this verse, he links their disobedience to unbelief. He says, you did not enter into his rest because you were disobedient. And in verse 19, so we see they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Their disobedience showed that they had unbelief. You cannot separate obedience and belief from one another. They go hand in hand. If you believe, you will be obedient. If you do not believe, then you will be disobedient. Let's look at James chapter 2 and verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? So what good does it have for us to possess or claim and say we have faith? The writer here says if he says he has faith. He doesn't say if he has faith. If he says he has faith but does not have works. So the question here is, does he have faith? Or is he lying when he has faith, but yet walking in disobedience and not having the works? Will that faith save him? Let's look at verse 15. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. James here is using this example, this instruction of the Torah, about taking care of those in need as an example to prove his point about if you have faith, then you're going to act a certain way. If you don't have faith, then your faith is dead. So he gives the example of taking care of one who is in need. You could use any Torah command as an example in here, and it applies in the same purpose as the one that James is using here as an example. So what he's saying is, you see your brother in need. You say you have faith, but if you do not help him, is your faith good or is your faith dead? He says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So if you say you have faith, but yet you're disobeying the command, you don't help the brother that is in need, then you don't have faith. You don't believe. Your faith is dead. It is non-existent. It isn't there. Because if you believed, you would help. You would obey. You would do what is commanded for you to do. Let's look at verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So here James is saying, I will show you what I believe by my works. If you want to know if someone truly believes in Yeshua, all you have to do is look at their life. Look at what they do. Look at their works. Do they walk in his righteousness? Do they walk in obedience to his word? Do they look different from the world? Are they set apart from the world? Or are they seeking conformity to this world? Or are they someone who walks according to their flesh instead of walking in God's righteousness? If you are a person of belief, your life should look different from the world. You should stand out. You should be set apart. Your works, what you do, shows what you believe. Let's look at verse 19. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. James here is telling us it's not a big deal to believe. It's not a big deal to believe that there is a God. There's not a big deal to believe Yeshua existed. This is not a big deal to believe that he died on a cross and to say a prayer and confess it. Even the demons believe there is God. Even the demons believe that Yeshua came. Even demons believe he died on the cross. They believe, but they don't submit themselves to the authority of God. That's the difference. So if our belief is only surface level, and we are not submitting ourselves to the authority of God, then we have the same belief that the demons have. And the demons are not entering into God's rest. They are going to be locked out. They're going to be locked up with Satan himself and to all those here on earth who choose to possess the same belief or even total unbelief, who reject submitting themselves to God's authority, will find themselves locked up along with them. If we want to enter into his rest, we need to believe in Yeshua, believe he died on that cross for us, there is forgiveness of sins, and submit ourselves under the authority of Yeshua. Possess a belief that produces obedience to his word in our lives. Let's look at verse 20. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. So James is telling us, before Abraham was ever called a friend of God, it was because he believed in God, and because he believed in God, he obeyed God. His faith was completed by his works. Remember, Abraham was called to leave the land of his fathers. So he believed God and he left the land of his fathers and he did what was commanded for him to do. He was told to offer his son on the altar. Abraham believed in God and he obeyed God and brought his son up on that altar. He was about to slaughter his son when he was stopped by the angel. And what did the angel say? Now I know that you fear God because you were willing to be obedient to his commands. When you are obedient to his word, it shows him that you fear him. It shows him that you love him. And it shows him that you believe in him. If you believe him, you will not reject his words. You would not reject his ways. You would do them. You would embrace them. You would love them because you believe in them and you believe him. And when we possess a love for his word and when we allow our faith to be completed by our works, we can be just as Abraham, where we can be called a friend of God. God wants to have that close, intimate relationship with each and every single believer. He wants us to walk with him as Abraham walked with him. Let's look at verse 24. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as a body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Now it's interesting, James brings in Rahab, who was a Gentile, saying the same thing. Abraham, he would say of the blood of the Jewish people. Then you have Rahab, who is the Gentile, who believed when the messengers came. She believed in their God, so she protected them. She hid them. She sent them out the other way. And because of that, she was saved. And it says here in this verse that she was justified by her works. So even those of the nations, the Gentiles, need to possess a belief that produces obedience. We're justified by our works along with our faith, our belief. See, the thing is, you cannot be justified by works alone, because you will never be able to perfectly uphold his law, number one, and you will never be able to uphold his law apart from his spirit living inside of you. So we must first possess that belief and believe in Yeshua, allow him to come, place his spirit inside of us, and then his spirit begins to operate and move in our lives. And we begin to learn his ways and walk in his ways, and then we begin to walk out our belief. We begin to show that we believe in him. But our faith must produce some sort of works, and that is for both Jew and Gentile. For as a body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So bottom line, if you are not walking in obedience, if you are rejecting his word, if you choose to walk in your own ways according to the lust of your flesh, seeking conformity unto this world, then your faith is actually dead. You actually do not have faith. You may think you have faith. You may say you have faith, but you actually do not possess any faith. It is dead. It is useless. You will not be able to enter into his rest. If we want to enter into his rest, we must possess a faith that produces righteousness, that produces good works, that produces obedience to his word, that has a heart that desires to seek after his ways, to learn his ways, to be transformed by his ways, seeking no longer to be conformed to the evilness of this world, which can be so easy to do, but rejecting that and seeking instead to be transformed into his image. We're transformed into his image by learning his word, learning his ways, burying them deep within our hearts, memorizing them in our hearts and in our minds, and thinking about his ways, thinking and meditating upon his ways and his word, his Torah, his commands and instructions, and not meditating on the things of this world and meditating on the desires of our flesh. If we're meditating upon the desires of our flesh, we're going to find ourselves walking in the desires of our flesh. But if we meditate upon his word and we meditate upon what he has given us to do, then we will find ourselves walking in his righteousness, and we will be able to enter into his rest and be his friend and have a close, intimate relationship with our loving Father in heaven, the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, I hope that this message has blessed you. We are so glad that you have joined us this week. We want to invite you to come back and join us again next week. We will be back with another teaching next week from next week's Torah portion. So come back now, and shalom, y'all.